Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
Ooh, that's fast. And I'm your co-host, Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic Med Spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're joined by Miss Allie Ballou, one of our nurse practitioners here at the clinic. And today we're going to be talking about a question that some of you may have asked yourself before. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, why does my face suddenly look tired, dry, and saggy, or just simply different? It could be because of menopause. Could be because of hormonal changes.
I think we need some teleprompter training for Jerry before he tries to do these intros.
That was very unnatural.
Have you ever heard of menopause face?
I actually hadn't until today, but I do know a lot of my patients that would probably relate to it very strongly, that they wake up one day and they don't say that exactly to me, but they do say, I just feel like I don't look like myself anymore. Like I woke up one day and it's like overnight it changed, which we know obviously it didn't happen overnight, but we get busy and things are going on in our lives and we're not maybe necessarily thinking about our face. And then one day we really take a good look in the mirror and they remember, you know, themselves as like, you know, a healthy 30-year-old woman, you know, and they don't feel like they look like that anymore, but they still feel good inside. And so then they come to us to help us kind of turn back their clock and figure out what's happening and why it's happening.
What's the number one change that you think people see that they complain about? Like this postmenopausal women?
Skin laxity.
I think I see so, like, pigmentation and dryness would be, that's like, we get a ton of pigmentation questions, and usually they'll say, like, all of a sudden it just started.
Yeah, I think it's, kind of multifactorial, but there are definitely some things, because if you look just at collagen loss and elastin loss, it starts in your 20s. And then when we look at the hyaluronic acid concentration, which maintains moisture in our skin, it also starts to decline in the 20s to 30s. And so we know that all those things start like decades before. But then around the time of menopause with those big hormonal shifts and the declining estrogen amounts, we also see thinning of the skin, which is going to exacerbate some of that. That's going to make it look, crepey. So it's thinner, crepier skin, drier skin. So I think it now is compounded because you've been losing gradually collagen and elastin all that time. And all of a sudden you start getting these hormonal changes with it. And you really start noticing those end results of what's been going on for a long time.
I think one of the things too is like, because there's facial hair growth that a lot of people experience. And so I attribute part of it to people using like tweezers and these super magnification mirrors. And all of a sudden they're looking at under these magnifying mirrors and you do see so much that you can't see with the naked eye. And then people start paying attention to it. And so, and that's like, to me, I think that's kind of the bread and butter for me. Like I love that age group in the clinic. And so we see a lot of it, and the commonalities between them are like, it's staggering how similar. You could take one patient and sit them in there and it's almost like a verbatim like that you hear multiple times.
Do you have a favorite treatment?
Do I have a favorite treatment?
For that patient group, for the perimenopausal group, is there a one magic bullet that you can say this
fixes everything?
Yeah. I just love the V appeal.
Interesting.
I think it.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
I think it's something that's because it's very affordable. It's very safe for every single one of them. It helps with skin laxity. It helps with hyperpigmentation.
What about the Exonad peel or the BioRepeel?
Yeah, I probably should do that.
Yeah.
We just had this conversation. It was interesting because we have so many tools and techniques and products in the office, and we tend to go to what our favorites are and we just do those over and over again. But there really are a lot of things out there now to address some of these underlying causes. I agree with you. I love the VI peel as well. It's just not where I thought you were going with that.
Well, the only reason I say that is because it's so good at pigmentation. It's good for melasma. A lot of them have melasma that's hormonal related. And so I think it's a good place to start. I don't think it's going to fix everything, but I think for someone that hasn't done like an energy-based device that does want to see like a fast result with, you know, minimal expense, minimal downtime, I think it's a good go-to.
Yeah, so to me, I still think it should be no surprise to any of you that Sculptra would be my one favorite thing for kind of a lot of causes, because you're going to replace collagen, you're going to stimulate collagen production, elastin production, so both of those things are being lost. It's going to regulate the, like, or downregulate some of the genes. So we have upregulation of ones that are more regenerative and downregulations of some of the ones that are causing inflammatory responses and pigment changes. And so there's a lot of things that we can do to modulate pigment to improve collagen, elastin, which is going to then help with that dermal thickness. And so to me, that is the one magic bullet that addresses a lot of the things that we see. I also think that a multimodal approach is probably the best. So combining that with the chemical peels, with some of the energy-based devices, you know, the Althera, the Plexer, we have a lot of different ones that we can address those things with. So to me, I think it is coming up with a plan and saying, yeah, your skin is changing. And what we're seeing right now is the end result, or not the end result, but really a culmination of years of ongoing changes. And we need to address it from the root cause. So we need to start building that collagen back. And then as we do that, come up with a plan that this is going to be what your lifelong, which is going to include a lot of things they do at home. What about you, Allie?
Neogen.
Neogen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites to do. I tell them, like, my analogy for it is, because I love injectables too, and like Sculptra, like I was thinking about Sculptra, and then I was like, I really probably usually start with Neogen and then like migrate to the injectables, and love the VI peel too. I think the nice thing about the VI peel too is that they usually complain of like dull skin, and then it gives them that like immediate brightness right after they peel, and so it just gives them that like immediate confidence boost and the boost and the confidence to want to do more things too. But the Neogen, I tell them, you know, it's like, because a lot of times they're like, well, could I just do some filler? Could I just do some Botox? And I tell them, you know, your injectables look good with good skin. And so instead of painting, like, so if you want to refer to injectables as painting on a crumbled up sheet of notebook paper, you would much prefer painting on a thick, nice, expensive piece of canvas. And so if we can turn your skin into canvas from a crumpled up sheet of paper, all of your injectables are going to look better. Everything else that we do here is kind of like frosting on a cake is going to look much better if we have a better foundation to start on and improve your skin quality, give you a collagen boost. It can address pigment as well as skin tightening. A lot of older women, they also struggle in their eye region, in their under eyes, tear troughs, skin laxity in their eyelids. And so I do love that the Neogen can also address that and kind of do it all in the same treatment too.
Yeah, interesting. So we all have things that we like and they're all effective. So I think the key there then is talking to the patient and giving them options, letting them know, because each of those that we've talked about has a different amount of recovery time, downtime, a different number of treatments needed to kind of get to the end result. And so some of it's going to be based on their ability to recover, their downtime, their budget, and then looking at getting a comprehensive plan for them. So I do think it's a unique group to deal with. And honestly, that's really what Jerry and I focused primarily on when we started JDCC Skincare. It was all that 40 to 60 year old female was our primary consumer. Now we have all age ranges that kind of come in here. You still see a lot of that age range. You do too. I mean, we still see a fair number in that age range. I think they're at a point in life that they're starting to pay more attention, and they can afford some of those treatments. I think maybe some of the younger patients don't have those significant problems yet. So they're looking more for the treatments that are maybe preventive, or they're doing just like their toxin or their lip filler, things that aren't they don't need it yet. And so we're not seeing that in our 20-year-olds where they're coming in and saying, hey, we want to get all these aggressive, unless they have some issues like scarring from acne. So the perimenopausal group, we definitely see that. What about this? You know, we talked about menopause face, and I think that term is like trending right now, is why this came up as a topic for us. And like, none of us had ever really heard that labeled as such. We hear the
treated
problems.
It. We just didn't call it.
I get it. Yeah,
that.
But we just don't call it.
Yeah.
That.
And so maybe that's trending right now. But do you think that guys go through something similar?
Yeah, menopause.
But I mean, in terms of like seeing the changes on the face and the skin.
Yeah, I do. The thing about guys that is, a lot of times by the time they get that age, they are on hormone therapy.
I think we just see a lot there, but in the general public, not. But I always say that, you know, we forget all the things that guys, there's the composition of the skin is different. And so because of the effects of testosterone over many years, the dermis is usually thicker. So we don't see those results as quickly, or as, even if the testosterone is decreasing, we don't see it as drastically that around that age. It's typically older. We also tend to have a lot of, in general, facial hair. And so that is something that's different. And with that, the composition of the skin in that area is different. And we then are constantly, a lot of people are shaving or grooming or doing things with that. That also think about like going over that every single day with a razor, then that's providing mild exfoliation and also some, you know, when we look at that, think about getting a dermaplane facial like every day. Essentially, we're doing that like every single day over and over, which kind of thickens up the skin of that area. So I don't think we see as many problems as the females do with their hormonal changes around menopause. I think it's a more gradual decline over the years. And so I don't think it's as obvious. Yeah. I do think guys have the same, like some of the issues as they lose testosterone, as the skin gets thinner over time, they're going to have hormonal changes. So some of the oily area will change, but it, to me, it's not as drastic. It's not like where you wake up one day and it's like, okay, all of a sudden now that's changed. Where I do think the women seem more drastic, but I think it's because of, we're starting with a thicker dermis, we're starting with oilier skin, those things from the just the effect of testosterone. We have, so regardless of the hormone optimization, but I think both groups, it's important because I think there are some symptoms in men, not necessarily what we see on their skin or their face, but a lot of the symptoms they have could correlate with a decline in hormone levels. So I think working with someone for hormone optimization, you know, replacement, and so when we do these bioidenticals now, it has changed a lot of people's lives. The general thought on that in the U.S. has changed, and there's a lot more people interested in that now. And so finding providers that can manage that, I think is really important. It helps us with our work here as well. So if we can optimize hormones at the same time we're making your skin look better, then it's a win-win.
Yeah. Well, we see a lot of things with guys and the female population with hormone-related things such as the sexual health component of it. And I thought about this earlier when we were talking about the dry skin. I know it's kind of a rabbit hole because we're talking about Ozempic face, but...
We're talking about Ozempic face, you switch.
Not Ozempic, menopause, sorry. Menopause face.
I'm like, I blacked out for a second then.
I meant menopause, not Ozempic. We talked about Ozempic face earlier. No, I was talking about menopause. But like, there's like menopause cuckoo as well, because like if the skin on the face is dry, then
dry everywhere.
You're kind of dry everywhere.
Do you treat it the same?
Kind of, sometimes. Like PRP. PRP for face and PRP for vaginal dryness.
So certainly we've got like a lot of push. We've gotten a lot of pushback on talking about this before.
Ooh, have we?
We talked about like menopause, vaginal dryness, and some of the things that change. And definitely at that point, we had Dr. Betsy Greenleaf on as a guest. And we certainly got a lot of pushback about who are two gay guys to talk about menopause. And certainly, you know, on that episode, we were talking about some fairly controversial things. And so Betsy was talking about masturbation, and she was encouraging perimenopausal females that if they were not sexually active to consider self-pleasure in some way because of the blood flow and the like physical changes that occur with the arousal and stimulation in that area.
Use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah.
And she was discussing that. And I was like, certainly we're not saying we're the experts on that. I know a little about that, but we are, all of us sitting here, we are medical professionals, and we have learned not only about anatomy, but about physiology and about changes that occur in aging. And in this space that we work, especially in this elective space where people are really wanting to look better and feel better more holistically, we have attended a lot of classes to learn about these things. And so it's not just those physical things that are occurring. Yes, some of the things with the thinning of the vaginal tissue, the dryness of the vaginal tissue, it actually leads to problems with pain and dysfunction. So some of the things that we see with the face, the dryness, the laxity of the skin, the loss of elasticity, a lot of that's occurring in the vaginal tissue. And if that's not addressed, it's not just for looks or to make their partner feel better, but it physically hurts the female to have sex. And we definitely deal with that. And we've treated a fair number of patients, all of us here on this panel, that tell us, they're like, this is so much better after we've treated it. And it's really, a lot of the therapies are focusing on collagen production. And so we don't have exactly the same treatments, But we do have some of the same ones. We have a laser, and so we have a CO2 laser that we can use intravaginal. We have a Plexer device that we can use intravaginal. We can inject PRP as a biostimulant. So a lot of things that we can do in the intravaginal area to promote that tissue elasticity to improve, as well as the moisture in that area.
So it's a change from head to tail?
Change from head to tail. All of it. So a lot of that's hormonally driven. So it's getting back to that, addressing the root cause of that. And so, you know, working with someone who can provide that hormone optimization therapy, we certainly recommend that. So, you know, we've dabbled in it in the past, done some ourselves, but we refer right now. We're considering bringing it back into Skin and Tonic. And so there's a lot of discussions about doing that. Allie's like, yes, do it. But that's all with peptides, hormones. So a lot of the anti-aging, you know, things that are being talked about right now and trending, it's like, you know, what capacity do we have to bring it all in versus when do we partner with somebody? So I think when, you know, the key for providers is to know, do they have the capacity? Is it something they want to really do in their clinic? But if not, don't be afraid to partner with someone in your area. Like, we have several people and we refer those, like, they do a great job. And so it's knowing who your resources are in your community, because that'll make the biggest difference in your patients.
I think when people start hormones, they always wonder, why did I wait so long? Because it's things that you don't even think about, like sleep patterns. Healthy sleep patterns is so much better. That fog that a lot of people kind of wander around in and don't even realize they're in a fog, but you know, it's certainly you have the physical symptoms, but then the other things that go along with it. So I can't tell you how many people I've had. It's like, God, I wish I'd have done this years ago.
Well, the interesting thing for that and the skin is not just the way they feel, the brain fog and all that, but looking at some of the things that change and even down to the peptides that you can use. And so they're very controversial right now. So there's a lot of them that people are using for anti-aging and for skin health that are, you know, research purposes only, but these peptides or molecules, they're mimicking some of the hormones and some of the signaling processes we have in the body to stimulate our body to do something. So either to make more growth hormone or to make more of or mimic one of the, you know, anti-inflammatory processes that could occur. There's things that mimic like satiety or fullness. And so it's going to make you not as hungry when we feel like we're hungry. So when we look at peptides, that's including the thing like the weight loss medications and insulin. So a lot of different things that we can do around this age range to help them feel better, but also to combat that look that a lot of them will describe around that age range with their face. So looking at some of the things that we can even use that we do now for microneedling. So some of the topicals we put on has the ingredients like the GHK copper peptide. And so when we look at that, we're doing this topically, some of it's like NAD for cellular and mitochondrial aging. And so those are things we can not only optimize your hormones, we can do injectables, but we can do some of those things that really get at that cellular cause of what's going on in the face around that age range.
There are a lot of things that go into menopause.
Aging. We fight it every day.
The main one being aging.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And menopause,
time moving
aging.
Forward.
Yeah. Well, all right. So thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. If you want to know more about menopause face or what we can do to really help you combat aging, come and see us at Skin and Tonic.
See you soon.
Bye.